Mr. Dubinsky?
Yes?
Thank you. One moment, please.
Yes?
Two things. May we bring you a letter from Justice Fortas?
Yes.
And David Dubinsky on 9-2. Yes, sir.
Be sure to take it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, David, how are you?
How are you, Mr. President?
Pretty good, David. Glad to hear from you.
It's, so am I. I thought that I was a forgotten man, and there were three reasons, Mr. President, why I wanted to speak to you. First, I wanted to say hello. I wanted to find out how you feel. And I wanted to tell you that, as you know, we are in back of you and Vietnam and all your troubles.
Yes, I know that, David, and I sure appreciate it.
And I also want to tell you something, two more little matters. And I don't want you to read it next time, and because of the admiration that I have for you, and I know the feeling that you have for me, I thought that you should know it. But by next week at this time, I'll be an ex-president of the ILGW.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm retiring next week. We're having our board meeting. And I'm submitting my... And I thought that there were three people that I wanted them to know, and this was my friend Arthur Goldberg. They are committed to secrecy and George Meade. I thought before I go to the meeting, I should tell you a word on that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I think
I'll be connected with it. But then another thing, Mr. President, on the question of the minimum wages, that I understand that George Meade spoke to you. I'm vitally concerned, and though naturally we were disappointed, nothing happened last year. And I understand what is in the making now. But I want to express a thought, one thought to you, Mr. President, that you ought to consider to find a way that you should let your thoughts now, if you have your thoughts made up, to make it public somehow, or to let the congressman to know it. I think it's reaching a point where, in my judgment, that ought to be the position, that your position ought to be more defined than up till now.
Here's our problem right now. I got together and I told George to be sure that what he was speaking for, that he could speak for you and your group and Jack Petoskey and the rest of them. He has told me that he could do this and that he thinks that what we could get through would be acceptable, which would be $1.40 in 19 and February of next year, and $1.60 in February of the following year.
He told me that.
And I have had the council look into that after George told me that, mm-hmm. And they tell me that we can live with that because while it will be 20 cents more the last 7 months of 68 than it would have been, it comes at a time when we hope we can stand it and we may really need a little something in our economy then, and it's so much better than anything else that's proposed except our $1.40, $1.60 September. So I have told them and I would stretch it and go with what Meany thought. And I've asked our men to contact the Speaker and all the House and all the Senate. Now, what they want to do, we've got some rather evil people here, and some of them, incidentally, from your state. I'm not going to call any names, but some people are playing politics. They're not your people, and they're not with you. But they like to put me behind the eight ball with the labor and with the Negroes and with the Jewish people and with any group they can. Because they're playing politics, and I'm trying my best to be a good president and be fair to all of them. But I have asked our people to get in touch with all the Speaker and the members of the Labor Committee in the Senate and in the House and tell them that George Meany assures me that if I could get the council not to fight it and the president to agree to sign it, that we could go for $1.40 and $1.60 February of both years. They're in the process of contacting them now. The first man they've contacted is Adam Clayton Powell. He had agreed to go for $1.40 in September this year instead of February next, and September 68. But they explained to him and explained that this would be a little better for labor. And he said, well, he doesn't owe us a lot of people anything, that y'all don't always support him, but that if the president wants to back up and give labor a little more, that he'll go with it. So we got him ready to make a statement, and he has to back up from what he said, but we've given him notice so it won't hurt his pride. Now, at about 11:30, I had a meeting, and they're contacting the other people. Nobody has contacted Morse or Joe Clark or Lister Hill or any of that group. But we hope that the labor people, who have a better standing with them, really, than I do, I hope that they will go in and say that this is what we want. Now, we'd like to have $2, but we can't get it, and inflation will hurt us more than anything else. And we've got a firm, iron-bound, ironclad agreement that if the president will sign this, we'll support it so that I don't get labor and the president divided. Now, I've told my men, when they can come back and tell me that labor, Andrew B. Miller, has talked to all the labor senators in the House and Senate and told them this is satisfactory, then I'll call the speaker and say I'll go for it. And we'll try to have a meeting next Tuesday. We'll try to get it out of the subcommittee next Tuesday. We'll try to get it out of the full committee next Thursday without any hearing. Because if they get a hearing, they'll call you down and you'll have to demand $2. Then they'll say Dubinsky and Johnson split. And then they'll call Alex Rose or Jack Potosky or somebody else and so forth. Now, George Meany has told me that he could speak for y'all. And if he can, y'all ought to get a wire to every member of the Labor Committee saying that this bill is going to be introduced this way, and we will support it, or get Evelyn or somebody to go tell them.
Evelyn is there.
Once they tell me that's done, then I'm going to go on board.
Very good, Mr. President. I think it's, while it is not satisfactory completely, but I agree with you, we can live with it. I agree with you, Mr. President, we can live with it, and maybe under the circumstances, this is the best that we have a right to expect.
Well, then we ought to be able, I don't know that we can, but if we remain united and all of us stand up for each other, we ought to be able to pass it.
And I think we will. I think labor will.
All right, now you get a hold of B. Miller, tell him to tell the senators that we're for it. We're not for amending it. We're not going to change it. If the Southerners want to cut it to $1.50, I'm going to oppose it. If they want to cut it to back to September 68, I'm going to oppose it and tell them you are too, and AFL-CIO is, and this administration.